gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Father. And we give you the highest praise, Father. You are mighty God, Father. And there's none like you in all the earth, my Father God. How great you are. What a mighty God you are, Father. And you're worthy of all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. You're so worthy, Father. As I think of your goodness and your grace and your mercy and all that you've done for us, Father, all I can say, Father, is thank you, 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 Father, for how great you are. Once again, Father, we give you the highest praise for all that you've done, all that you are doing, and all that you will continuously be doing throughout all generations and forevermore. How great you are. And Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay, Father, and that your Holy Spirit would take control of this radio broadcast today, and that you would speak to our hearts, Father, however you see fit. If you had to reprove us, rebuke us, chastise us, correct us, encourage us, build us up, Holy Ghost, have your way in this broadcast today. And lead and guide us into the reality of God's word for our lives, God's will for our lives, God's purpose for our lives, and God's desire for our lives. And as in always, we'll be careful to make sure that we give you, Father, all of the glory and the honor and the praise, you, Jesus Christ, and you, Holy Spirit. For it is the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Now here we are, Father, at your table. Feed us from the bread of life. And once again, as in always, we're careful to give you the credit, the honor, and the praise. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, both now and forever. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, and so shall it be. Amen and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, that's under the sound of my voice that's listening to this broadcast. What an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to call you mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. And I'd like to take this opportunity right now to just stand and bow my head to every last one of you out there under the sound of my voice. It's called diplomatic courtesy. Whenever you come into the company of a king or a queen, it is diplomatic courtesy that you bow. And I know who you are, you know, based upon the integrity of what God say and who God say we are. And God said that we have been made unto our God to be kings queens, and spiritual representatives. That's in your Bible in the book of Revelation chapter 5. It says, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we have been made unto our God king and priest. A king and a queen, that's a ruler. Hallelujah. A priest, that's a spiritual representative. Hallelujah. And what do a king and a queen do? They rule in life. They rule over their domain. They rule over their territory. Your territory is your life. Hallelujah. And because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, he has placed us back on the throne of our lives, delivered us from the bondage of Satan and the slavery of Satan, and placed us back in our rightful place. But as kings, that's a political figure. And priests, that's a spiritual figure. And it's in that order. A king and a priest. Glory to God. In our democracy and everything else, there's a separation of state and church. But in the kingdom of God, church is state. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're a king first. You're a ruler first. God, before man, you know, God established his church upon the earth, precious church as we know it. The Bible says, and God made us in his image and his likeness, and he said, let them, talking about us, have dominion. That's kingship. That's power, control, and influence over all the earth. He did that first. He made you a ruler first, just like him. He's a king. Hallelujah. Psalms 24 say, open up the gates and let the King of Glory come through. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord God Almighty. He is the King of Glory. So God chose to introduce himself as a king and a spiritual representative. And he made you just like him, in his image and in his likeness, with his character, with his nature, and to function like him. How does he function? As a king and a spiritual authority. Hallelujah. Then he made you like him. That's why I say I take this opportunity right now to bow before every last one of you in honor of you in its diplomatic courtesy. I told you, whenever you come into the company of a king or a queen, then they instruct you, you know, to bow. That's just diplomatic courtesy, once again, to show reverence and honor to the king. So I reverence every last one of you under the sound of my voice, and I give honor to every last one of you under the sound of my voice, because God has granted you and graced you and I with the ability to reign in life, to rule in life. Over people? No. Over every circumstance and situation and symptom that confronts our lives. It no matter what it is. And here's something I'd like to say right now, you know. He gave us the ability to reign over mankind's greatest enemy. You know, one of mankind's greatest enemy, man, is death. He said, I give you power even over death. Hallelujah. So death no longer have any authority or power over us no more. Why? Because death is swallowed up with life. That's what the word says. How is death, man, swallowed up? By life. So what did God do to give us power over death? He gave us eternal life. Listen, the Bible says the penalty for sin is death. That's in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life. So listen at this. If the gift of God is eternal life, and if you have eternal life, and if you have received the gift, and you have eternal life, then how are you ever going to die? The body that you live in, it's going to go back to the dust of the ground. It don't matter what the deal is. It's going back to the dust of the ground. But you're going to live forever. Glory to God. So death, where is your sting? And grave, where is your victory? But Jesus Christ overcame it, man. That's why we celebrated a few weeks ago, man, what we call Resurrection Sunday. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, boy, he rose with all power. All the powers of heaven, all the powers of the earth. and even under the earth. Under the earth is death. He said, I give you power even over death. In fact, he told him this. He said, hey, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it back up. Good God Almighty. And you know what happened in 3 days, man. He got up. We call it Resurrection Sunday. Remember that Lazarus tomb, man? When they say, Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, yeah, your brother going to live. They say, yeah, I know in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And your brother going to live today. Hallelujah. And boy, he said, he didn't say, holler out loud, loud, loud. He said it with authority. He said, Lazarus, come forward. And Lazarus came forward. Hallelujah. How did all that take place, boy? That's all done by the spoken word of God. Hallelujah. Where's the life at? The life is in the word of God. Glory to God. And contrary to popular opinion, or even if you don't understand it, man, that don't nullify the word of God. That don't make the word of God of none effect. Even if you don't understand it. I heard somebody say, hey, listen, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And then I was meditating on that one day, man, and God spoke to my heart and said, son, if I said it, whether you believe it or not, it's still settled. Why? Because I said it. And I'm not a man that I should lie. If I said it, I won't do it. If I spoke it, it's coming to pass. He said that. Listen, every time I come on this radio broadcast, I don't have no opinion, my opinion about nothing. Everything I share with you on this radio broadcast is the word of life. That's a law in the kingdom. What the king say, what God say. And listen, here's a little revelation to it. I'm not talking about what God said through Moses and the prophets, or through the prophet and Moses. I'm talking about what God said himself before there ever was a Moses or a prophet. What he said. What he said from the beginning, not just in the beginning, but from the beginning, before there ever was a beginning. He already decided what he wants. He already chose us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And you know what he chose? That we should be holy and without blame, covered in his love. That's in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 1. Thanks be unto God who has chosen us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. And then later on, he said, and you who were dead in trespass and sin, has he made alive again. Whereas even in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as those. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us with, even when we were dead in sin, has he made us alive together with Christ Jesus. Why? Because it's for by grace that we are saved. And he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. Listen to this. Not of your works. If it were, then we would have something to boast about. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. What are you saying, Brother Arthur? Hello. That's why I call you a mighty man and a mighty woman of the Most High God. That's why, boy, you know God wants you to know, boy, through this radio broadcast, who you are, what you have, what you can do, where you come from, why you here, and where you going to end up at, even in death. Hey, where you going to end up at in death? In the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So again, I say, death, where's your sting? And grave, where's your victory? For boy, through our Father and his love wherewith he has loved us with, has given us power, all power. All power. All the powers of heaven, all the powers in the earth, and all the powers even under the earth. For all the dead in Christ shall rise. What he told Martha and Mary is, your brother going to live. Hallelujah. Why? Because I am the resurrection, and I am the life. And he that believeth in me, even though he die, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. That's why I say, boy, death is swallowed up by life. What life? The law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. In your Bible, in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, say, for the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do through the weakness of the flesh, God came himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and redeemed our life from that destruction. Hallelujah. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. That's why Paul was able to write in Corinthians 15, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? It's swallowed up in love. It's swallowed up in life. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, it didn't say whosoever man didn't sin no more and got everything together and had everything right and went to church every Sunday and didn't steal, didn't kill, didn't commit adultery, didn't do none of those things like that. It doesn't say that. It said he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. So if you got everlasting life, then how you ever going to die? Like I say, your body going to go back to the dust of the ground, but your body ain't you. That's just the house that you live in. Hallelujah. For a season. But you are offspring of the Most High God. You are a spirit being just like God. You have a soul. You have a mind. You have a will. You have emotion. You have attitude. And you live in a physical body. You're a spirit being with a soul that live in a physical body. This physical body is appointed unto you, it wants to die, but after that, then the resurrection. So I don't care, boy, whether you're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized, speaking in tongues, man, go to church every Sunday, preach and do everything else, your body's still going to go to the dust of the ground. But you're going to live forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why you say that, Arthur? Because that's what the King say. That's what your Father in heaven say. That's what our source and sustainer say. And let me say it, I'll say this again. I think it bears repeating. If he said it, that settles it. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. If God said it, then it's settled. Again, I didn't hear it said before. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, listen here. If you believe it, that bring it into reality in your life. But boy, let me tell you something, whether you believe it or not, if God said it, it's done. He said, see, this is what he said in Isaiah chapter 46. He said, fix this in your heart. I'm God. I'm Almighty God. You got a lot of want to be God, and you got a lot of God pertaining and professing to be a God. But behold, over here, the Lord your God, he's one God. I'm God, and there's none like me in all the earth. In fact, I'll show you how bad I am. I finish with your life first. And then I start. You see that chapter, you know, I always refer to John chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. When God, listen. God say, let's make man in our image and our likeness. And let them have dominion over all of the earth. Listen, boy, you know what he's speaking? He's speaking the end. He's speaking the finished product. Even before he started Adam and Eve them off on their course to becoming that, He spoke it. He finished it. He finished first. And then he started. That's what the Bible meant in Isaiah 46. It said, I declare the end from the beginning, and my counsel gonna stand. In other words, my word ain't gonna change. My word is settled. I'm gonna show you the end in the beginning of the book. Good God Almighty. So when God say, let's make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have kingship, rulership, authority, power, control, and influence over all the earth, man, that's a finished deal. He spoke the ends first. Then he started mankind off on his way to that end. Then he say, become. What? Work. Work. What work mean? To become. Become what? Become men who you are. Glory to God. Mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. That's your work. To become man, what God's word say about you. To become that. And even if you don't reach the mark in this, while you're in this physical body, that don't nullify, boy, the work. You think your life is all over with, man, after you leave this physical body? You've only just begun, man. Hey, Lord. I'm going to say it again. You only just begun. How long are we going to live on these physical, in these physical bodies on this earth? 5 years, 3 months, 2 months, 6 months, 2 days, 10 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 120? Yeah. What does that compare, man, to eternal life? Forever. And listen, it don't matter how you leave here. Glory to God. It don't matter whether it be a tragedy, it don't matter whether it be natural, it don't matter what it's going to be, man, you're going to leave this physical body. And you might as well fix that in your heart and fix that in your mind. But that's not, man, the termination of your life. That's the transformation of your life. You leave it, when we leave these physical bodies, man, we leaving out of time and entering into eternity. Eternal what? Eternal life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Right now, we're living in time. But boy, there's an eternal destiny that God has set for your life already before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame, covered in his love, living in his presence forever and ever and ever and ever. For sure, we're going to miss our loved ones, man, when they go on to be with the Lord, man. That's human nature. That's natural. But even in that sorrow and even in that grief, you can know one thing, boy, that you're not alone. That God is even with you in the grief, in the pain, in the sorrow. And, boy, if you know that and understand that and allow him to wrap his loving arms around us in our times of need, his grace and his mercy that follows us all the days of our lives is sufficient enough, boy, to comfort us, man, even then in our grief, even in our sorrow, even in our pain, even in the physical loss of our loved ones. Hallelujah. And, boy, I'm talking about he'll comfort us and let us know that, boy, even though we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, everything is all right. Hallelujah. What do you mean, Arthur, everything is all right, man, when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death or when we find ourselves in a lion's den or in a fiery furnace? How much do you mean? How can everything be all right, man, when I don't have nothing to eat, no money to pay my bills, none of that? Your heavenly Father know that you have need of all those things, no matter what it is. And if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you have need of will be added unto you, whether it's love, whether it's comfort, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's peace, whether it's joy, whether it's finances, whether it's health, no matter what it is. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And the only thing he asks us to do is seek first his way, man, of getting it to you. And if you seek it, you'll find it. You know why most people not finding it? Because they're not seeking it. They're seeking a lot of other things. And the other thing that they're seeking is not evil, not bad. But he say, let this be your number one priority. What? Seek first what your Father in heaven is doing, not what your church is doing. You can seek that too, but man, get your priorities in line. Don't let seeking what your church doing and what your pastor doing and what the world is doing and what the politicians are doing and what the hip-hop industry is doing and what man is doing and people are doing. You can seek all that, but man, seek first what God is doing. Seek first what our Father in heaven is doing. Seek first the kingdom of God. What is that? What God is doing and his way of doing what he's doing. And everything that you have need of, whether it's spirit, soul, or body, will be added unto us on a daily basis, providing that you got your priorities in order. You got your priorities in line. You seeking, man, the kingdom of God. That's your greatest pursuit. Some people seeking career. Some people seeking, man, you know, finances. Some people seeking a lot of all kind of things. I wonder how many is seeking first the kingdom of God. Seeking God's way. For it is the Lord our God who give us power to get wealth, to establish his covenant in the earth. And the wealth that he's talking about is not the money that you have in your bank account. It's I give you the treasures of heaven. All the treasures of heaven. All of heaven. Listen, there's your inheritance. The streets is paved with gold. One brick on the streets, man, that's paved with gold. And that one stone of that gold street, man, is worth all the money that's in the world. Why? Because it's heaven's treasure. Just one brick. And that's your inheritance. That's why you say, store for yourself treasures in heaven, where rot and moth and corruption and none of those things can enter therein and choke it. Why? Hey, you seek first the kingdom of heaven, boy, you'll come to this revelation, man, that your Father in heaven know that you have what you have need of. And that scripture in your Bible that say, boy, your God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. That'll come alive to you. And you won't worry about what you're going to eat, how you're going to live, how you're going to pay your bills, or how you're going to make it in life. Why? Because you'll know something, boy, that the word Father, it means source and sustainer. Not only he's the source of our life, but he will sustain you. He will take care of his children. He will provide for his children. He will, man, bless his children. That word bless may mean, man, to empower us with everything that we have need of. Hallelujah. That pertains to life and godliness. That's what your Father in heaven will do. That's the love of the Lord God. That's the love that God has for you. That even while you were yet in your sins, he hung, bled, and died. Boy, so that you might be forgiven of all your sins, that you might be redeemed from the law of sin and death, that you might be redeemed from the slavery that Adam sold us into, that we might be redeemed. That's purchased again. Deem mean to own. Redeem mean to own again. We first been owned by God, and then, boy, Adam sold us into slavery to the devil, and Jesus Christ came and paid the price, man, and repurchased us back unto our God. Redeemed us. So now, boy, you no longer, man, a slave to Satan, man, you know, and belong to him. But now you belong again to your original owner, your original Lord, your Father in heaven. You've been bought with a price, glory to God. The precious blood of Jesus Christ, the royal blood of Jesus Christ, purchased you back unto your God. Good God Almighty. And as he purchased you back unto your God, you have been made unto your God to be a king and a priest. What's the problem, Arthur? God say, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they don't know that. They know religion. They know about rituals. They know of traditions. They know, man, you know, churches we know are here in the earth today, but they don't know the original church that God set up in the earth today. They think church is a religious organization. Man, church is not a religious organization. Church is, man, a senate, a cabinet, representative, man, of a kingdom, ambassadors of Christ. That's what church is. We didn't made it, man, a religious organization. Jesus Christ didn't come to bring, man, no religion to this earth. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. What he came to bring? He came to bring the governing influence and the governing system of heaven, how heaven is governed. He didn't come to bring no religion. He came to bring a government, the government of heaven. We got the government of the United States that we live by and function by, and the law that governs, man, this Constitution. But that's what Jesus Christ came to bring, man. Somebody say, what did man say? I say, boy, he came with the governing system of heaven on his shoulder. He came with the way heaven is governed. He taught men the governing system of heaven. He taught them, man, the laws of the kingdom of heaven. He taught his disciples, man, the functioning principles of heaven. He taught them, man, not religious life, man. He taught them kingdom living, how to live in the kingdom. And watch this. How to live in the kingdom as a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. What? The family of God, not servants of the Lord. I hear a lot of people say, I'm a servant of the Lord, not me. Yeah. Now, you can be a servant of the Lord if you want to, and that's all right. The Bible said, boy, the servant in Solomon's temple, man, had a good life. But, boy, let me tell you something. The servant in Solomon's temple had a good life, but they didn't have a better life than, man, Solomon's family, his son. Why? Because the inheritance goes to the son, not the servant. In fact, Ben Paul wrote in Galatians, we are no longer servants, but sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. With your inheritance, Almighty God, and all that he is and all that he has. And not only that, his kingdom too. That's your inheritance as a son, not as a servant. Now, don't misunderstand me. I ain't saying we don't serve. I say you're not a servant. You're a son. You offspring from God. You come from God. Some of us are in male bodies, and some of us are in female bodies. But you offspring from God. You're a son of God. Not a servant. You're a son of God that serves. Glory to God. And, man, if you ain't careful, man, you'll make yourself a servant of the Lord. And a servant of the Lord don't have no inheritance. Oh, they might get a little something. You know, they might get a few dollars, but the son get all the son get everything, the whole pie. Glory to God. That's why I go up, boy, you know, put this radio broadcast on the air. But what purpose are there? Because listen, wherever purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. If you ever tune into this radio broadcast, whether it's every Saturday or whatever time you do tune into it and hear this message here, this gospel of the kingdom, it has a purpose for it. And the purpose is to help you rediscover the gospel of the kingdom. What you mean rediscover it? Man, it was preached and then it was lost in the graveyard of religion. But boy, in your generation, in this day and time, boy, it's being rediscovered. The church is coming to the knowledge, man, of the gospel of the kingdom. And boy, we beginning to preach that now. Not what we've been preaching, man, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, don't misunderstand me. That ain't, listen, that got to be preached too, but we got it out of order. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and don't preach nothing that Jesus Christ preached. Listen, Paul said in the book of Acts, in the last chapter of the book of Acts, in the last three verses. So he stayed in his hired house, man, after he had went to Rome and went before Caesar like God had told him at the beginning of his ministry, and he had fulfilled his purpose. He stayed in his hired house for 2 years, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament they call the Pauline epistles, man. And the Bible says, and he received all those who came unto him, and he preached unto them the kingdom of God, and he taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. In that order, what he did, he preached the kingdom of God, and he taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same thing Jesus Christ did. He didn't come preaching about him. He come preaching about you. And what is I'm preaching about you? That you're a mighty man of the Most High God. That you're a son of the Most High God. That you have an inheritance. And he's going to bring that inheritance back to you and teach you men how to function in it, how to live in it. And then at the end of his ministry, he began to tell the people about him. He preached the kingdom of God, man, first. Then he told them about himself. How he must die and be hung up and be raised on the third day. He didn't start telling them about that till the end of his ministry. Well, what was he preaching all them other 3 years, man, when he was preaching, man, in that 3.5 years that he proclaimed? He was preaching, man, the kingdom of God. He was preaching the good news about you. We preach the good news about, no, not we. Majority of God's people preach the good news about Jesus. And don't never preach, man, the good news that Jesus preached. What's the good news that Jesus preached? Change your whole way of thinking. That's what the word repent means, Matthew 4:17. Why? Because I come to bring you a new way of thinking. You've been born in sin and shaped in iniquity and trained to think and live and act, man, according to the dictates of this natural world that you live in. When you were designed to live and think according to the kingdom of heaven in that world. But you lost that world. And you don't know nothing about that world. And you don't know how that world functions and how you know to live and how that world talk and how to walk in that world and how to be in that world. Or you know how to live and function, man, in this world that's on this earth today that's set up by the devil. The Bible says he's the God of this world. So the first thing Jesus said, hey, listen, man, you was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So all the things that you're doing, man, you couldn't help but to do, man. That's conducive to your nature. Why? Because you was born separated from God. But, boy, I come to bring you a new life. And in order for you to live in this new life, you got to change your whole way of thinking. That's what repent means. That's why he say, don't be no longer conformed to this world system that you've been born and trained and conditioned to live in, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. For what purpose? So that you can prove, not just preach it, but prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. And you know what that is? That it be in your life here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Listen, you've been praying it all your life in what you call a Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Why? Priority one. The first request, Lord, let your kingdom come. In fact, let your kingdom come what? Back. Why? Because when your kingdom comes, then your will can be done, Father. Your will, not my will. Your will can be done, Father. Well, in my life here on earth, how? Just like it is in heaven. Then you start making all your other requests. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. We go to God, man, and ask him for daily bread first, and they ain't gotten to the kingdom. We go to God and tell God what we want him to do for us. When the first priority is to go to God and say, Lord, what can we do for you? Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Now give me every day, man, what I have need of to help you accomplish that. That's why the Bible says, man, we have not because we ask not. In other words, some don't pray. Then say, and then when we ask amiss. That means that those who do pray, they pray, but they don't pray right. They got their priorities out of line. They go to God with their list of what they want God to do for him. When the first thing you got to do in prayer is go to God with an empty list and find out what God wants you to do for him and what God ordained and birthed you in the earth to do for him. Then after you get that, man, then, man, you can bring your list. Well, Lord, I need this to help you do that. I need this to help you do that. I need that to help you do that. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Give me this day my health. Give me this day the peace. Give me this day the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom. Lord, give me this day, man, you know, housing and land and whatever you have need of. Well, you go to God, man, with that list first, man. That's why your prayers ain't being answered. Why? Because, boy, a lot of those things that we're praying for in our petition, we petitioning God for them when we should go to God thanking God for them. Do you know something? That a lot of things that we're asking God to do, he done already done. We're asking God to go and do things, man, that he done already done. Instead of coming to the knowledge of what he's already done and then going to him in the prayer of thanksgiving, thanking him that he supply all your needs. Thanking him that he ain't never going to leave you and he ain't never going to forsake you. Thanking him that he's a very present help in your time of need. Thanking him that even though we die, yet shall we live. thanking him for eternal life, thanking him for peace that passes all understanding that the world can't give and the world can't take away, thanking him for the joy of the Lord that's your strength, thanking him, man, for translating us out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of his dear son. Thanking him, man, for his goodness and mercy that follow us all the days of our life. Thanking him that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear no evil because we're not alone, that he's with us. Thanking him for never leaving us or forsaking him, forsaking us. Thanking him. We go to God and asking him, man, to do what he's already done. But boy, in these last days now, boy, I'm talking about, boy, we're being filled with the knowledge, watch this, of God's will for our lives. How is that happening, Arthur? Boy, because, boy, the church is coming to the knowledge and rediscovering, man, the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And that's being preached. Jesus said it this way, it's like a little bitty grain of mustard seed. It might be the smallest seed of all the seeds, but when it is planted, it grows up to be the biggest tree, and all the birds come flock down here. You know what that means? Right now, man, it might seem small, small, small. Hallelujah. It might start in a little corner, in little churches, man. You know, not in big congregation and world-renowned ministries right now, boy. This gospel of the kingdom is being preached, man, in little small storefront churches, little small churches with 100 members, 50 members, 200 members, you know. That's what we came to first. That's where it started at. That's why Jesus said, despise not the day of tomorrow beginning. Dear Lord. But it's like a little leaven. But boy, when it's put into the bushel of meal, what's the little leaven? That's the gospel of the kingdom. What's the bushel of meal? That's the little bitty small churches and then that God is raising up. No name churches that, man, people don't know about. All you know about the Creflo Dollars and the Benny Hens and all the renowned names and the Joel Osteens and all the big churches and everything, the TDJs and everything else. And that's all good and dandy. And that's all what they pray for there. But, boy, you don't know about, man, Arthur LaValle. You don't know about, man, you know, hey, you don't know about Dexter Compton. You don't know too much about, man, you know, Pastor Johnson down here in the little bunker area. You don't know nothing, man, about Kalisha. You don't know nothing about Keith and Wesley Smith. You don't know nothing about them, man. But, boy, that's where God is preaching this gospel of the kingdom to, in those little churches like that. Hallelujah. And it's like a little bit of leaven. You don't know much about, boy, Let's Go High Ministry over there in Houston, Texas. They ain't got no more than about 50, 60 members in there, man. But, boy, I'm talking about, boy, they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And it's like a little bit of leaven. And, boy, it's going to leaven the whole lump. Because before you know it, boy, it's going to be like wildfire. It's a little bit of small mustard seed now. But, boy, God continue to do what he's doing through there. As we continue to proclaim this gospel of the kingdom, it's going to grow up to be the biggest tree, man, and all the saints and all the people of God are going to be forcing their way into it. You know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 16? It says, from Moses to John the Baptist, the law and the prophets have been preached. But now, in these last days, the gospel of the kingdom is being preached. And men are eager to get in it. Once they come to the knowledge of what their inheritance is, man, they going to want it. Let me tell you something. If you found out and it was legit, man, if a lawyer came to you and say, listen, man, here's the paperwork right here, man, here's the legal documents right here that is legal right here, and you are an heir of $1 million, and it's legit. And all you got to do, man, is sign your name right here, man, and, man, you can go and receive your inheritance. Let me tell you something. If you find out that that's real and that's legit, man, you're going to sign them papers. It ain't a devil in hell going to stop you, man, from pursuing and going after your $1 million. Hallelujah. Well, listen, man, you got the inheritance of way more than $1 million. Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, he said, I commend you unto the word of God's grace, which is able to build you up and give you your inheritance among those who are sanctified. The Bible says you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Boy, you come to the knowledge and know that it's real, that real can be, that, boy, you have an inheritance, man, from your Father in heaven. And let me tell you something. Our inheritance, our will don't go into effect until after, boy, the one who wrote the will, after he died. And then it go into effect. Well, listen, Jesus Christ died over 2,000 years ago. So the will is in effect, been in effect for 2,000 years, man. Well, how come, man, nobody ain't been going and claiming their stuff because they don't know about it? You could be a millionaire, and if nobody told you, man, that you have an inheritance that is in Capital One Bank or Chase Bank or nothing like that, you wouldn't even know to pursue it. You wouldn't even know to go after it. So you could die poor, broke, and hungry when all the time you a millionaire. And the same thing with Hosea, man. Say, God, say, my people, man, are dying and poor, broke, and hungry spiritually. Why? Because they don't know. They don't know about it. So I say it again, boy, the purpose for you tuning into this broadcast, because God wants you to come to the knowledge of your inheritance. He put it on here, boy, to help you rediscover the good news about the kingdom. And you know what the good news about the kingdom is? That's your inheritance. That belong to you. You have a right to that. It wasn't your fault that you lost that. It was Adam's fault and Adam's sin that caused you men to lose your inheritance. And just like you didn't have nothing to do with you losing your inheritance, you don't have nothing to do with it being regained and restored back to you. The Bible says by one man's disobedience, death came upon the whole human race. Even so, by the obedience of another man, Jesus Christ, then the resurrection of death, man, has come to the whole human race and the free gift of righteousness and the restoration of everything that you lost. Remember what we said earlier? It's by grace that you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. That's a gift from God. That's why you hear me say all the time, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Because I found that man in Psalm 82. Like I say, God standing in the congregation of the mighty, and he judges amongst the God. That means he gives righteous judgment to you, to all his children, little God, little offsprings of God. What he does, he gives righteous judgment. What's righteous judgment, man? You got a right to be redeemed. You got a right to be saved. You got a right to be healed. You got a right to be delivered. You got a right to be provided for. You got a right to be taken care of. Because, man, your forefather Adam, man, caused you to be born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That wasn't nothing of your doing. I told God one time, well, Lord, that don't seem fair, man. God said, it ain't fair. That's why I did something about it. What? Hey, I came myself, man, and, man, I redeemed your life from that destruction. Just like it wasn't nothing you did, man, to be lost, ain't nothing you got to do, man, to be found. All you got to do, boy, is come to the knowledge of it. What? That I've already saved you. That I've already healed you. That I've already delivered you, that I've already provided for you. And then they begin to walk in that reality of the knowledge of the word of God and the love of God wherewith he loved us. Even while we were yet in our sin, he looked past all our faults and all our mistakes, and he saw our need, and he met that need, hallelujah. What he required us to do, the law that he required us to keep, he knew that in and of ourselves we couldn't do it. Why? Because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So he came and did it for us himself in the person of his son. Listen, Jesus was tempted on all points, just like you and I, yet without sin. The righteous life that God demanded for you and I to live, Jesus lived it for us. The penalty for sin that God required of us because of our shortcomings, Jesus paid it all. Why? So that you could be set free, and that you can be born again and come back into God's original plan and purpose and destiny and will for your life. And you know what that is? That it be in your life here on earth just like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. How is God going to get that man to you, man? Through the foolishness of preaching. Preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. The good news about the kingdom. Listen, there's a lot of gospel in the Bible. There's a lot of bad news in it, too. There's a lot of gospel in the Bible. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ, man, that's good news, how he hung, bled, and died for our sin. That's good news, but that's a gospel that's greater than that. The gospel that's greater than man, what he did is why he did it. I'm going to say that again. Somebody say, you mean to tell me there's something greater than man? A news that greater than Jesus Christ died for our sin and saved us? Yeah, the better news is what? The greater news is what? Why he did that. You can know what something is and not know why it is and then miss at the use of it. I'm going to say that again, too. You can know what something is, and if you don't know why it is, the purpose for it, then you can then miss at the use of it or abuse it or abnormally use it. Why? Because you don't know the purpose for it. You don't know the purpose for your salvation. You don't know the purpose why Jesus hung, bled, and died. You know that he hung, bled, and died, and he rose from the grave, but you don't know the purpose for it. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, man, when the purpose for it, man, is so that you can come to the knowledge that you, who were dead in trespasses and sin, has he raised up and made to sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You celebrate Jesus Christ's resurrection, man, and don't celebrate yours. When the purpose for his was so that was to secure your resurrection, because you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. You were dead and separated from God, man. You were buried in the graveyard, man, of religion, man. But God came himself, and he didn't just resurrect Jesus. He resurrected you with him. You just celebrating his resurrection, man. What about yours? The purpose of his was to secure yours. Yes, celebrate Jesus' resurrection, man, but don't forget about, man, you who were dead in trespass and sin, had he raised up and made to sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You ought to be celebrating yours, too. You celebrate his once, man, a year, man, and then, man, after a week or two after celebrating, man, gone right back to normal. Why? Because you ain't realized, man, that you've been raised, too, man. If you come to the knowledge that you've been resurrected, too, then, man, Easter won't, or resurrection day won't be a once a year, man, time of celebration. You'll be celebrating that every day of your life. That you've been raised from death unto life. That you've been raised from separation to God to being reconnected back to God. You've been raised from being, man, separated from the Holy Spirit to the Holy Spirit once again coming back and taking residence, not just around you and among you, but on the inside of you, like he originally was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. The Holy Ghost wasn't around them. The Father God wasn't just around them. The Word of God wasn't just around them. It was in them. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Not around you. Not among you. That's a good thing. The Bible says the kingdom of God, man, right now is among you. But boy, when you come to the knowledge, man, and receive it and everything and you receive this good news, it ain't going to just be around you or among you. It's going to be on the inside of you. What do you say? Behold, the kingdom of God comes now with observation. It ain't over there. It ain't over here. It ain't right there. Well, it's within you. What the Father want to do? He want to come back once again and take up residence on the inside of you. What do you want? He want the Holy Ghost to come live on the inside of us. What he want to do? He want the living word of the Most High God to live on the inside of us once again. So that we can begin to live, man, not the crucified life, but the resurrected life. Hallelujah. What's the resurrection life? Life and that more abundantly. Superior in quality and superior in quantity. That's God's desire and God's will for your life. That you be the head, not the tail. That we be above, not beneath. That we be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in every area of our life. Because why, Arthur? Because, boy, when he created us, I told you, boy, you need to get into them two chapters in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's God's perfect will for your life. Everything after there from Genesis chapter 3 to the end of the Old Testament, that's God's permissive will for your life. And then, man, in the New Testament, boy, all that is about, man, God's plan and God's desire and God's way of getting you back into his perfect will for your life. What's his perfect will for your life? That you be just like him. And the Bible says, and God blessed them and told them to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue the earth. Before he did that, he blessed them. What you mean blessed them? He empowered them with everything that they had need of to become, boy, what his word said about them. He gave them all the potential that he needed. What's the potential? He placed on the inside of all our spirits in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? That's Almighty God himself. That's the life of God. That's the spirit of God. That's the ability of God. He's the power of God. He's the full essence of God. He's God himself, man. And God placed him on the inside of us. What purpose? For that boy that we would have a colobosity to the other, a divine connection between God and man, and a divine connection between heaven and earth. What's that connection? That's in the person of the Holy Spirit. What's that connection between God and man? The Holy Spirit. What's the connection between heaven and earth? The Holy Spirit. What mankind lost, man, in Genesis chapter 3 through Adam's disobedience? The Holy Spirit. That divine connection. That's why we're no longer connected to God and no longer connected to his will, no longer connected to his way, no longer connected to his kingdom. Why? Because, boy, when you lost that connection, you even got put out of the Garden of Eden, got put out of heaven on earth, you got put out of the presence of the Lord. But God, in his love and his kindness and his mercy toward us, boy, even while we were dead in trespass and sin, has he made us alive again. Hallelujah. And that's what God, boy, put us on this broadcast, man, to let you know, man, to help you rediscover this good news about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And the good news about it is that's your inheritance, and it belongs to you. And like I told you as I close, if somebody, man, came to you with the legal documents and everything else and let you know that, boy, I'm talking about a billionaire left you, man, $500 million, man, and they showed you the legal documents in the paper, and it was legit, and you checked it out and found out that it was real, and a devil in hell or nobody on this earth could stop you from pursuing your $500 million. But boy, God, boy, I'm preaching this gospel of the kingdom that in hope that when you come to the knowledge of your inheritance, that you won't let a devil in hell or no preacher, or no religion, or no denomination, or no unbeliever, or no demon, man, stop you, man, from going after your inheritance. Let me tell you something. If somebody told you, boy, you was the heir of that $500 million, that you think that won't be your number one priority to go and pursue your inheritance? That'll be your, man, you'll stop everything that you're doing. You'll leave your job, you'll leave everything, man. You listen, you'll make that your number one priority. And you'll go and seek that inheritance. Well, I come to tell you, boy, that your Father in heaven, man, left you an inheritance. And the testator, Jesus Christ, has died, and the will is in full effect. All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world is in effect. So what I'm supposed to do, Arthur, now, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Go after your inheritance. And it'll be added unto you on a daily basis. Listen, I love y'all, y'all. My time is up. Look forward to talking to y'all again next week. If you can contact us, 713-870-3776. Again, our contact number at Kingdom Life Fellowship Ministry, 713-870-3776. We love you with the love of the Lord. Go get your inheritance. In Jesus' name, amen. Talk to y'all next week.
Pastor Arthur LeBain. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1.